Welcome to the Frequency 49 show. I'm Paul MacDonald alongside Brian Davis, Kev Nayland, and Deepak Gohill. Hello, guys.
Hi, Paul.
How are we all doing today?
I'm doing great. No flu.
Yeah, it's going well this week.
Good stuff. Well, the San Francisco 49ers take to the road this week as they travel east to take on the 5-6 Chicago Bears. While the 49ers are coming into this game off a loss to the Cardinals, the Bears' last game was a win against the Green Bay Packers. The Bears are 7-point favourites in Soldier Field, while the 49ers try to hold their winless on the road record this season. And we're going to try and pick this game apart and see if we can find a winner, maybe. What do you think, Brian?
I don't think any of us can confidently pick what's going to happen in this game, to be perfectly honest, based on what we've seen from both teams this season.
That's actually a very good shout, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is a good shout, but I think it's one of those games that could have gone either way. I mean, you know, without beating up on the team too much, Arizona is a game that ultimately we lost, not just because of the referees, but we were kind of inept as well. Yeah. And now we're playing two teams that are fairly inept and fairly unpredictable. So you then have to look at what advantage could Chicago possibly have. And they're buoyant. That's a pretty strong win to beat Green Bay last week. They've got to fancy their chances. They'll be up for it. I think the question we need to ask ourselves is, will our boys be, will they have the stomach to fight this, you know, and play effectively for pride?
Well, if they're playing anything like they did last week, yes.
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, certainly. But I think it's just one of those games that, like Brian said, it could go either way, really. It's really difficult to call this one.
I'm calling this the bullseye game. It's a case of here's what we could have won with Adam Gase and Vic Fangio coaching for the Chicago Bears.
That's brilliant. Well done. I like that one. How much does home field advantage matter with Chicago at Soldier Field? Obviously, you know, there's teams and the stadiums where home field advantage is negligible. Is this one of the big ones, though?
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you for why. Soldier Field is a traditional NFL stadium like Lambeau, okay? It's not a mixed stadium like we play in. So they've got a history of a fan base that's played in that particular stadium. And as Soldier Field's being renovated and it's pretty modern now, I think... Gosh, you ask any NFL player, would you rather play at home or on the road? They'd rather play at home. Maybe ours might want to play on the play away, but they'd want to play at home. And I think Chicago have got a mature, knowledgeable, quite a strong, loyal fan base, an established fan base at that. I think that's a big advantage to them.
Yeah, I've actually been to a game in Chicago and it was loud, very, very loud. And that home crowd, when they're getting behind their team and not going against their team, that there's quite a big swingometer in their fan base as to how the team are playing, as to how they kind of respond to the team on the field. And it's a massive advantage for Chicago, and coming off the back of the win against Green Bay with extra days rest, it's going to be very difficult for us going in there. And Chicago is one of the best sports cities in the world. And I'm hoping that Jed can go in there this week and actually learn something about running a successful sports franchise. Because, you know, there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of tradition there. You know, but that's something that maybe Jed needs to take a peek at while he's in the city.
I think it's worth remembering also that, you know, Soldier Field is an old stadium. They didn't sort of pack up and decide to play in Indiana or somewhere. They actually renovated Soldier Field and made it a modern facility.
Yeah, and they've left a lot of the original parts of the stadium standing and sort of built around it.
That's right.
Saying all that, they've only won once at home all season so far, 1 out of 5.
They have, yeah. Yeah, when you look at it, we're 0-5 on the road and they're 1-4 at home. So on paper, it's not looking like a very good game at all.
Well, and again, Brian, I think it goes back to what you said. This could go any which way. You know, we're 0-5 on the road, they've only won once, and I think they're going to fancy their chances, because, you know, for us, we are literally playing for pride, and I'm sure Chicago are too. It's a proud franchise, And it kills me to say it right now. I'd say that they're a prouder franchise than we are because they've got some sort of direction. We actually do not. So I think Chicago would definitely fancy their chances. And that slender advantage of having had at least just one home win compared to our three home wins. In fact, we've not been able to do it away from home apart from the Giants game, which we were sort of unlucky to lose, but lost it nevertheless.
And since week three, after the consecutive shellackings against the Cardinals and the Seahawks, their three losses have all been by 3 points or less. So they're always in games.
Yeah, and I don't know, I've not looked at the weather forecast yet, but the weather could play an impact on the game as well, depending on what it's currently doing in Chicago. You know, it could be anything. It could be wind, it could be rain, or it could be snow.
But that said, Kev, you know, our defense is doing its job. You know, they're keeping down to about 20 points a game, which is sufficient for an offense to score more than that, if you see what I mean. And, you know, our defense against their offense, you know, let's think about it. Cutler. I mean, I think our defense will be able to stop them. It's a question of whether our offense can move the ball effectively and play high percentage football, I think.
Yeah, you say that about Cutler, though. He's got his highest quarterback and passer rate in his whole career. So Adam Gase is obviously doing good things up there in Chicago, because to turn Jay Cutler into, you know, what looks like a decent quarterback right now is, you know, that's no mean feat from what we've seen Jay Cutler. You know, we've seen Jay Cutler throw five interceptions at Candlestick Park before now and have a complete meltdown.
Chicago win, they go 6-6. That means they're still in contention. Whereas, you know, even if we were to win, we'd be, 4-8? And, you know, I think we have to look at the motivation. And I really hope, and I think our players will step up. Watching that Alex Boone interview outside his locker condemning the officials, you know, that was an interview of a man who'd given it everything. And if we can bring that attitude back onto the field at Soldier Field, then I think we have a chance. This is just too difficult to predict either way.
Jay Cutler is completing about 66% of his passes at the moment. Blaine Gabbert hasn't played in Soldier Field. That's something that he said himself, and he's looking forward to going there. Is the weather likely to be a factor for him as well as never having played there before, or is it just going to be all rolled into the same issue for him?
Well, that is a good question. Until this season, Blaine Gabbert had never played on Levi's Stadium either in a competitive game. So,
but that's true.
As far as the weather taking its toll, well, that really depends. You know, if it's going to be icy, if it's going to be a cold, hard turf to play on, they may go for an aerial game, in which case he may get picked off. He may not get picked off. Weather is a big variable. It's how well you adapt to it. And Chicago, obviously, is a cold city team. They know how to play in bad weather, and they probably even train in bad weather. So it'd be also interesting to see just how many times we actually play in cold weather ourselves. We don't tend to play any of our games in cold weather, even though we've got a streak of them coming, because after Chicago, we're away in Cleveland, where it's as cold, if not colder. So we're going to find out soon if we can play in the elements or not.
Do we know whether the 49ers are staying out east between the two games this season, or
no,
are they likely
back
to return home? They're returning home.
Yeah, I was surprised that there's no road trip staying out in Ohio again, but then I guess that was a Jim Harbaugh thing, and Jed wants nothing to do with Jim Harbaugh, does he? So he's going to do his own thing.
This
now.
Is true, yeah.
Poo-poo that, isn't he?
He doesn't want to spend the hotel fees.
He's going to put that ice cream shop out of business.
Looking at the injuries we've got going into this game, Garrett Celek is listed as doubtful after his injury and leaving the game last week. Carlos Hyde down is questionable with his foot still, and Ahmad Brooks is questionable after his concussion kept him out of the game last week. Big deal, little deal, no deal?
Somewhat of a deal. Gabbert likes to throw to his tight ends, and he's been doing that fairly effectively. So I think that could be a factor. Mark Brooks didn't play last week, but, you know, our defense, not just in fits and starts, it has made massive, massive errors. But they've also kept us in games, and Mark Brooks, perhaps he's more high-priced than he is talented, but we've played a decent defensive game of football without him, and there's no reason why we shouldn't do that again.
Brooks is a concussion, and that tends to be probably just a one-week thing, so I would expect to see him back. Selleck, absolutely no idea right now, but then we've already got McDonald, and you know the Beldos are coming in as well now, so I don't see that being too much of a big issue if Selleck doesn't play. It would be nice to have him to play, don't get me wrong. And I think Carlos Hyde is almost at that situation now where we almost need to shut him down and just sort of run drone into the ground, really, because, you know, let's just give him the workload and hopefully call Hayne up at some point as well and have a look at him. But, you know, drone someone who we can actually get into the team. And if we give him 30 carries for every game for the rest of the season, it's not going to impact too much on the future, because potentially, or most likely, he's probably not going to be around next season anyway.
If we could pick one area of improvement from last week's game against the Arizona Cardinals that we would like to see brought up to spec this week in Chicago, what would it be, Brian?
Well, you put me on the spot there. Coaching. Be more aggressive. Okay. I wouldn't be adverse to throwing on every single first down on Sunday night and see what happens.
Yeah. Just change it up a bit and
completely change it.
Put some aggression in there. What about you, Deepak?
Well, definitely coaching, but I think the team could do with a little bit of focus, because whilst the defense, as a broad brush, played well, it was little bits of lack of concentration. I'm going back to the Tremaine Brock dropped interception in the end zone. It's little things like that that also contributed towards us losing the football game, you know, refs notwithstanding. Yeah. So I think we need to tighten up our focus. In terms of the offense, I mean, I think Carlos Hyde shouldn't play anymore this season, because there's no point in playing him. No, let's get him healthy for next season. Unless Jed doesn't want him to be around next season, because it's my understanding that he actually took a few snaps at Candlestick Park once upon a time, in which case he may be on the cut list.
He's on the chopping block. Yeah. Kev, what about you? What would you like to see improved from last week?
Just put some challenges in. Doesn't matter if it's the right thing to challenge against, because the refs haven't got a clue. Coaches haven't got a clue. Just challenge everything. Keep throwing
that
flag.
That's a great shout, actually. That's a really good shout. Little updates from that game. The refereeing crew, the officiating crew from that game, have now been dropped from Sunday night football this coming week. Supposedly some kind of punishment for what they got up to on Sunday in San Francisco, or in Santa Clara, as it is. Do you think it was enough?
Well, here's the thing. Ultimately, cost us a football game that, whilst it was meaningless in terms of its outcome for us, still a football game nevertheless. And I think this is just quite easily the most damning piece of evidence you can use, that the NFL recognize the fact that we lost this game because of poor officiating. And it was so inherent in that game that they didn't have a choice but to not to use those officials again. And, you know, it's ludicrous. People don't know how many downs have been played. Clean hits that are... I think, if I'm not mistaken, Carson Palmer said that was not a clean hit. It was a helmet to helmet. He led with his helmet into his chest. That's what he said. And he's going to get fined for that.
He's been fined for it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's been fined for that. So, you know, when you've clearly somebody in the NFL has looked at that and thought, this is complete BS. Okay, let's just not play these guys in a Sunday night game. We don't need them. And that's as close as an apology the NFL is going to make that 49er team that played its buns off on Sunday night. They deserve that win. And yes, they didn't help themselves, but hey.
All they've done is just moved them to an earlier game. So it's not like they've taken them off completely. They can get an earlier game. They can get to bed earlier.
So, I mean, these guys should be, you know, thankful that they're not overseeing Balboa or Mission this Friday night. You know, let alone playing in the NFL on Sunday.
Yeah. Brian, do you think if the 49ers had been contenders for the division this season, that the NFL might have done something more stringent than they've done? Or is what they've done the maximum that they can do with these refereeing crews, with them being part-time crews?
No, I don't think they would have done anything else. I think that's about as tough as it's going to get for them, to be honest.
Yeah, the NFL historically doesn't admit liability for anything. You know, just hate to dirty the waters a little bit, but look at its history on how it's handling concussions, both current and previous history. You know, it's something that they just don't want to go down. So I think calling a crew is as close as you're going to get to an abject apology by saying we messed up by putting these idiots in charge of your game. However, they won't be allowed to mess up somebody else's game on Sunday. So they're just moving the problem around.
Yeah, they were going to send them to officiate the worst team in the NFL, but then they realised they'd have to send them to Soldier Field again this Sunday.
Right.
It's time to start looking at the pick six as it stands now. That means it's time to pass the whole show over to Kev.
Okay. So, quick look back at last week. I'm sure that Paul was breathing a great sigh of relief when somebody managed to get 6 out of 6 on the normal games, as Graham Ross
managed to definitely.
A whole lot. However, that still...
Well done to Graham Ross, by the way.
Yeah, good shout. Well,
yeah, that still doesn't stop me thinking that yours, when you were running it, were a bit dodgy. And then...
There's going to be a full inquiry into this.
Yeah, then on the Thanksgiving games, we had 2 people get 3, Jessica Blythe and me. So there was something obviously wrong on Thursday night. If I managed to get 3 out of 3. Normal service was resumed. I only got 3 out of 6 on the Sunday night.
Fantastic.
So Brian and Gary got 5 on the Sunday. Brian, you got 2 on Thanksgiving and Gary got 1 on Thanksgiving. Deepak, you got 4 and 2 and Paul, you got 3 and 2.
Oh, I'm going backwards.
Well, quite a bit, yeah. So it's making that first week look more and more like a sore thumb. So overall, you've got Jordan McDonald leading the way on 26. With Graham's full house on Sunday, he's up there with Neil Jepson on 25. And then of the presenters, we've got Paul on 23. Brian and Gary are on 22. Deepak's on 21. And then somebody's all the way down on 16. I can't imagine who that might be.
Yeah. It's still all close there at the top, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. A few more pick sixes and things could all change.
And if the 49er game, again, is going to go either way, isn't it? It really is going to go either way. It's going to be one of those that'll give people a jump ahead up the ladder where perhaps... another game might not, because it's just, I just can't stop thinking about how difficult to call Sunday's game is going to be.
Here's the thing, is the 49ers game one of our pick six?
It is indeed, yes. We've got 4 of the 6 o'clock games and 2 of the later evening games. So again, it'll all be wrapped up by the time people go to bed. So first game up this week is... the Meadowlands Derby to Jets at the Giants. Brian?
I'm going to take the home team. Which are the Giants?
New York City.
Okay. Deepak?
I am actually going to go with the Giants too. I think that Odell Beckham Jr. is becoming an NFL highlight reel. And I think this is one of those games where he will definitely come out to play.
Okay, and Paul?
I think I'm going to go the other way. The Giants are coming off the back of the loss against Washington, aren't they? The Jets are coming off the back of a big win against the Dolphins. I think the Jets are going to take this one.
This one's going to go as my tie, as Eli Manning and Fitzpatrick combine to break the interception record for a single NFL game, and it finishes 0-0.
As daft as it sounds, that's actually quite likely to happen with these two teams, isn't it?
Oh, man.
Okay, next game.
It's the Cardinals at the Rams. Paul?
Cardinals at Rams, you can only go one way with this. The Rams are on a slide, even though they are at home. The Cardinals are riding high. Okay, we kind of held them to a game last week, but I think that was the anomaly in the Arizona Cardinals season. Arizona to win.
Okay, Deepak?
I'm going with Arizona too. I sort of disagree with Paul because I actually don't think last Sunday was an anomaly. You've got to look at it from this perspective. A team that's good is going to win the ugly, ugly games. And last Sunday was an ugly game, and Arizona won it for a number of different reasons. Yeah, I think they'll be far too strong for St. Louis. They're on a march towards the playoffs.
And Brian?
Yeah, the Bengals destroyed the Rams last week, and that was 1 week behind Arizona actually beating the Bengals themselves. So definitely going with the Arizona Cardinals on that one.
And I'm going to carry on doing what I've done for the last few weeks and jinx the Rams by picking them. Okay.
I'm starting to see why you're bottom.
I know, I can't understand it. I really can't. So, game three, we have the mob from Seattle at the Vikings. Deepak.
That's a really, really close game. Gosh, Pittsburgh got the Seattle treatment as well last week. I don't know. I think I'm going to go... I'm going to go with Seattle. I think they win when they need to. This is a game where I think they'll be able to just about pull it off. And the fact is that they're away from home, so it might not be as easy as it sounds, but I think that the Hawks will win it.
Brian?
Yeah, the Vikings didn't exactly blitz past the Falcons in the way that I thought they would last week, so I think I'll take Seattle to sneak one out in Minnesota.
And Paul?
I'm going the opposite way on this one. Seattle needed help to win against the Steelers last week. Would they have won that game if Big Ben had stayed on the field, if he hadn't had that concussion? We'll never know. But they did need help. The Vikings are 8-3, and they're at home. I'm taking the Vikings.
And I'm going, and I'm going for the Vikings. I think Russell Wilson will get ejected as he punches a referee who didn't give him a roughing the passer call when he got hit 25 yards inside the touchline.
I thought you were going to say for getting flagged for being too little.
I was going to, but that would probably go straight over his head.
Hey! Touché.
Okay, so...
5-yard penalty for being too small behind the line of scrimmage.
Yep. So, game four is the 49ers at the Bears. Paul?
Oh, I don't want to pick this game. This is the coin toss. It really is. The 49ers 3-8, Chicago Bears 5-6. As I said, the Chicago Bears have only won once at home. I'm going to have to go with the home team, I think. As much as I don't want to, I've got to give the Bears the upper hand in this game.
Brian.
Kill me now.
I was talking to a friend of mine earlier. Bears fan, and he's very, very confident. He thinks it's going to be an easy win for them, but he hasn't gone into any game completely confident with the team. Said what we said earlier about Cutler playing great football, and obviously they've got two fit running backs who are very active in both the passing and the running game, obviously. But he did say that their special teams are abysmal and could cost them at any stage. And their pass defense is excellent. And apparently, teams coached by John Fox are 4-0 against the 49ers. So I didn't really need any assistance in making my mind up, but I just thought I'd add that into the conversation. And I'm picking the Bears.
Okay, Deepak.
I always get nostalgic when the 49ers play in Chicago. I always think of those NFC Championship games that we played there en route to winning Super Bowls, and how we were heavy underdogs playing in the cold at Soldier Field, and we just used to turn them over. I think this is going to be slightly different. I think Chicago will edge it. I think it'll be another one of those games that we perhaps could have won, maybe should have won, but because of institutional weaknesses within our team, I don't think we're going to have enough huff and puff to seal this one. Chicago.
Okay. I backed the Bears to beat Green Bay last week, and miracles of miracles, I actually got one right. But I'm going to go for the 49ers this week, mainly because I'm going to
Can I just say that on this game,
Looking at the stats, the 49ers lead the all-time series. I know the all-time series doesn't really matter that much in the grand scheme of things. They lead the all-time series by two games. It's 32 to the 49ers and 30 to the Bears. This is close.
Paul, do you have a stat on how many times we've won at Soldier Field?
Oh, leave that with me. I'll have a look up.
All right.
Let's carry on to the next game and I'll look that up.
Okay, so game five is the Chiefs at the Raiders. Brian?
I can't pick the Raiders. I'm picking Alex and the Smith. And the Smiths? Alex and the Chiefs.
Okay. Paul?
The Raiders are kind of slightly unravelling as the season goes on. I've got to go with the Chiefs.
And Deepak?
Well, looking at the schedules this week, there's two games that stuck out like a sore thumb after hours to me. And this was one of them. The Raiders against Kansas City. The other one is Dallas and Washington. These are, again, I'm showing my age here, two massive, massive, historic NFL rivalries that have been here since the beginning of time. And the rivalry always has an extra edge. And when there's a rivalry game in Oakland, the Raider Nation will be in force. I think that home crowd is going to intimidate the life out of Alex Smith, and I think the Raiders will win this.
Okay, so I'm, despite seven Alex Smith's completions to Crabtree stood on the sidelines, I think the Chiefs are still going to sneak a victory here. Game six is the Panthers at the Saints. Deepak?
You've got to fancy Carolina. They can't do a thing wrong at the moment. They're playing well. And here's the other thing. They're playing with a great deal of confidence. I think they're going to have too much for New Orleans, even if it is going to be in the Dome, where New Orleans are no pushover by any stretch. I think Carolina will have enough, and I think they're going to win this.
Okay, Paul.
I've got to go with Deepak. The Carolina Panthers are on a roll. They are still unbeaten, the only unbeaten team. They're giving away 7 points to the New Orleans Saints in the Superdome. I've got the Carolina winning here.
Brian?
Well, the way the Saints defense has played this season, I think Carolina are going to go in here and absolutely destroy them. This could be the biggest cleanup operation in New Orleans since Katrina was a...
Ooh.
Wow.
And
too soon.
Yeah. I've got the Panthers by a mile. Despite them not being allowed to score in the fourth quarter after the officials get to the last ball after they give them all away after touchdowns.
Yeah, they run out of footballs, don't they?
So that's it then. Another pick six completed for the week.
I'm a little disappointed our guys didn't select the Redskins and the Cowboys. That's another huge rivalry game. That's one of my favorite rivalries in the game. And it's in Washington as well. So I don't know if I'll have a means of watching that, but I'll certainly be keeping an eye out on that particular game. Purely because, yeah, diehard 49er, as you know, but I also love the game too. And I absolutely love these old rivalry games. And this is as good as they come.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Steve Madden's going to be absolutely pumped for this one.
Yeah, this is as good as they come. Yeah, Steve Madden, our resident Redskins fan, he's going to be super pumped. But
the thing is with that game, it's a depleted Dallas Cowboys team, isn't it? A Romo-less Cowboys team going into Washington, where they're kind of their season's been re-energized by Kirk Cousins this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you sort of think of it in terms of how we are against Seattle of late, and I still don't like to call that a rivalry game, even though, and we can debate that on a separate occasion, I just think it's a divisional game. With Washington and Dallas, it actually is a set in stone when Moses was around sort of rivalry game. And I think form goes out the window. I think it's about blood and guts. It's a proper rivalry game. It's going to be fierce. Yeah. Just like the one in Oakland against Kansas City, that's another proper rivalry game. So I think Those games are really difficult to call historically because of the emotion, because of the passion of the fans, because this is games are really for the fans who, you know, people like us, you know, if the Niners are playing Dallas, that's a rivalry game for us straight away, or the New York Giants, another rivalry game, or the Rams, a rivalry game. This is where, you know, your form and your current standing and how you did last Sunday goes out the window. It's about beating your rivals.
There is a good reason it wasn't picked, and that's because it wasn't on the list to be picked, as it's the Monday night game. because Andrew tops and tails the Thursday night and the Monday night games off. So it wasn't actually on the list too.
That'll be why.
Fair enough.
So it's not our followers' fault. It's the NFL's fault for scheduling the game at the wrong time.
It's ridiculous. Indeed,
it's as simple as that.
No consideration for British fans, is there? None.
That's it, yeah. So that's our pick sixes in, guys. Make sure to get your pick six selections in nice and early before Sunday's games.
Safe travels to Lisa Walker-Lawrence, who's flying out of London to go and see the game.
Yeah, she's going to be in Chicago.
She is, yeah. Go Blackhawks.
Enjoy your trip out there, Lisa. So that's it for this episode. Thanks to Andrew Mitchell for running the pick six. Thanks to you, the listeners, the reason we produce this show. And thanks to AudioNautics.com for our theme music. The discussions will continue on Twitter at Frequency 49 and on Facebook, search the Frequency 49 show. Feel free to join in. Say goodbye, boys.
Good night, everybody.
Goodbye, goodbye, guys.
On behalf of Deepak Gohill, Kev Nayland and Brian Davis, I've been Paul McDonald, you've been the audience, and this has been the Frequency 49 show. Bye for now.